The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
I'm going to go back to the phones, but first I've got to give you an update on two of my favorite listeners. Yeah, I shouldn't have favorites, but these two have been through a lot. If you are a daily listener, I've told you about Michael and Ryan, father and son. Michael is a police officer in one of our suburban police departments, so he's already one of my heroes. His son, Ryan, is a teenager, very athletic teenager who almost died. Oh, I guess it's been almost a year ago. Maybe it has been a year ago, a very rare disease that almost killed him. He was in a coma, was in Children's Hospital for such a long time. They didn't know whether he would live or not. Well, he not only did he survive, he had a complete recovery, except it destroyed his kidneys, completely destroyed his kidneys. So he was on dialysis and in need of a transplant. Well, as most of you know, that takes time, a lot of preparation. Long story short, it was discovered that his father, the police officer Michael, was a perfect match to the son Ryan, and they had transplant surgery on Wednesday. I am very happy to report the surgery was a complete success. They're both doing very well and could get out of the hospital today, if not tomorrow. So Michael, and I realize many of you were praying for them, and I'm just so thrilled to give you the news. The transplant went extremely well for both of them. It's interesting, the father had a much harder time of recovering and more pain than the son. But anyway, thank you for praying. And who knows, maybe they're listening today, but both of them have just become my heroes. Ryan, teenager, going through all that he has gone through with the dialysis and so forth, maintained an incredibly positive, upbeat attitude and just strong faith in his God. So congratulations. Continue to pray for them that the recovery would go without any hitches, without any complications. So that's just good news from our listening audience. All right, let's go to Al in Westerville, and I never have any idea what in the world Al's going to talk about. But Al, well, is always welcome. He's always welcome. I am well, Al. Thank you for asking.
It's a great Friday afternoon. It's blue skies, and it's actually springtime and not a repeat of winter. Talking to some folks, there were 6 inches of snow up in Cleveland a couple of days ago.
I know some folks in Westerville that got about 3 inches of snow.
Yeah.
We had 3 inches at our house.
We did, too. But I was going to talk about the persecuted church. You know, we're lucky that we live in this country. Even though with all the problems we have, we can still worship freely, unlike other countries. And that's why I want to bring up a special request for a good friend of mine. I want him to be renamed just Alan's friend. He's a physician. He's been out on the mission field for a good 30 years, both him and his wife. They've been in a predominantly overseas country. I don't want to even name the country.
Yeah.
And I found I got a letter from him the other day, and he's here in the States, and he's going back out, but he also has leukemia.
Oh my goodness.
He's exactly one day younger than I am.
Wow.
I'm a spry 21.
Yeah, right.
But if people could just pray for Alan's friend,
okay,
the doctor, the good doctor, his family, his boys. He actually adopted boys from one of the countries they were in. They've grown up to be great, great young men. A testament to him and his wife, and a testament to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, it's things like that. We have to remember, no matter what, you know, we're blessed to live where we are. It's not our home. And 100 years from now, we'll get together someplace, and maybe, just maybe, and I'm telling people this, New Year's Day 2021.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at math.
Get out your calculator, Al.
Break my fingers. Get my fingers out and count.
Yeah.
But one of these days we'll get together and we'll sit and we'll talk, and maybe we'll have learned something, all the reasons why things are the way they are, and it ought to be cool.
You know, and I've said this before, but for those that didn't hear it, one of the most profound things I've ever heard about heaven, dear pastor friend said this. He said, probably the most common thing we're going to hear throughout all eternity is people walking around heaven saying, oh, oh. So that's why that happened. Oh, so that's what God meant. Oh, and I thought, boy, that is so true, because we have such finite understanding, uh-huh, Al, compared to an infinite God. You know, we have such finite understanding.
It is. I remember years ago when my oldest was in middle school, I saw the pictures, actually a little video, of the bacteria flagelli, and it's so small you need a scanning electron microscope to see it, and this thing would spin like 100,000 RPMs going in the right direction, stop on a dime and turn around and do it again. And if you looked at it, it looked like a motorboat. It looked like somebody actually went and say, I'm going to make it like this, and this, I'm going to start from there, and I'm going to start with this small little thing and work up. Pretty amazing.
I know the ultra microscopic world, you would think, Al, would preclude anyone from being an atheist. How can you look at the incredible design? And Al, when you know we're talking about the subatomic world, and not just the atomic world, the subatomic world, everywhere there is order. It's not chaos.
And it's not randomness.
And it's not randomness. How do you explain that from a purely naturalistic standpoint? And my contention is you can't. Yeah. You can't. There is order everywhere, and just incredible evidence of design. You know, it's everywhere. All right, Al, thanks, and we'll be praying for your friend. All right,
thanks, Bob.
And give me an update so I can pass along to the listeners.
I will.
All right,
take care.
God bless you, Al. It is so true. We are surrounded by evidence of a divine creator, a divine designer. The more we learn about nature and the more powerful the microscopes become, the more order you see. It's phenomenal. And yet, there are those who believe that it's all by chance. It's not original with me by any means, but I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I don't. All right, we're going to take the final break of the hour. Wow, the final break of the week. And then we'll be back and wrap things up. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE.
Bob Burney Live. Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome again to Bob Burney Live. I'm going to go to the phones, I promise, but I'm just... Before the break, we were talking about the complexity of nature. Jerry and I both love hummingbirds. You know, we love hummingbirds. They're just fascinating to watch. We have a hummingbird feeder at our house, and we're waiting for the first ones of this season. So, did you know that the hummingbirds, most of the hummingbirds that come to Ohio, actually migrate to Mexico? They fly from here down to the Gulf Coast, and they spend a couple of weeks in the Gulf Coast gorging themselves with food and fats and so forth. And then they fly 18 hours across the Gulf of Mexico to where they migrate in Mexico. 18 hours. That's why they spend a couple of weeks before they leave. How does natural selection prepare a tiny, tiny little bird where the brain is the size of a grain of rice, and that bird knows to gorge themselves because they've got an 18-hour trip ahead of them? And you try to tell me that's accidental, natural selection that just happened? Really? All right, let's go to the phones, and I've got CJ in Columbus. CJ, you're on Bobberty Live. Welcome, and thanks for calling.
Hi, Bob. Always good to talk to you. I've got basically four comments, and you don't have much time, so I'll be quick. I happened to be listening in and was hearing your comments about the critical race theory, as I think I've pointed out before. I am a person of quote-unquote color. I say it that way because everybody has color in their skin unless they are an albino.
Right.
But in any event, we need to beware of inadvertently agreeing with doctrines of demons. Number one, there is only one race, and that's the human race.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we are made in God's image. So to say there's something inherently wrong with another person because of the color of their skin, that is a slap in the face of God. Number three, we are not called to atone for anyone's sins or past hurt. Going to share this very quickly. Dear friend of mine who lives north of here for many, many years was a leader in a church where the pastor happened to be a black person. She's a white person. And after all of these years of service, she was recently told by the pastor that he just could not get over past wounding in his life, and that was why he was buying into this critical race theory. And for all intents and purposes, let her know that there was an atoning that needed to be done by people of her hue, of her coloration, because of what had been done to him. And she said, but Jesus atoned. What if I could do anything, what could I do? So the last thing I would say is I believe, Bob, it's past time in the church for us to say who are we going to serve. The Satan's hiss was, hath God said. Mm-hmm. And we had better decide whose side we're on, who we're going to serve. You have a wonderful afternoon.
CJ, I could not have said it better, and I'm sure that I have not said it better. And I appreciate that. Thank you. Your call means a great deal. You bring a perspective to the table that I can't bring, and I appreciate it very, very much.
Well, you can bring it, but it's just the other side of the same coin. In that, there are people who would say to you, well, and this is what this black pastor was saying to my friend, is that you just don't understand. And she looked him in the eye, and she, you know, called him by name. I don't remember his name. I'll say his name is Fred. She looked him in the eye. She said, Fred, she said, it's me. She said, look at me. Look at me. She said, it's me. She said, it's the same me that has cried with you, that has been a part of the leadership team here, that's been a close confidant and friend with others on this team for years. She says, look, she says, it's still me. And he just couldn't get past that. So
the pastor,
yes,
couldn't.
I believe we can all, yes, and he's still the senior pastor of the church. Now, she, with great, tremendous grief in her heart, left the church because she said, I can't be under the leadership of somebody who has put the color of their skin above the gospel of Jesus Christ.
But
that's something any of us can say regardless of our skin color.
Yeah, it's so true. It is so true. And the blood of Jesus makes us all one. You know, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and God does not look at us through the color of our skin, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the essence of the gospel, and that tears down. You know, Paul talks about tearing down the middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. In Jesus' day, that wall was as big as the wall between blacks and whites today. It was huge. And the gospel tore that wall down, and the gospel can tear down the wall of race here in America. CJ, thank you. Again, I'm out of time, but I'm blessed that you called today. God bless you. Wow. Good stuff. What a way to end the program. Hey, folks, be in a good Bible-believing church this weekend. You can be. If you don't have one, find one. And wherever you go and whatever you do, please, please, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.